Daddy's Easter Swimming is Fear and Faith. Enjoy it.
When I finally summoned up the courage from deep within me to ask Stacy on a date, our very first date, it came out a little like this. So I was kind of wondering if maybe tomorrow night you'd like to go to this Valentine's Day dinner. They're having it at our church, so it's not really a date. It's kind of a group date thing, and it'd be cool, like me and you. But she finally rescued me from this torture and said, "I'd love to go on a date with you." To which I replied, "Yes." Here's a picture of our first days together. Oh, yeah. So the next day, I got a call from our college pastor. He said, "Dale, I'm so sorry. I have to cancel the event. My mom went to the emergency room, and it was 3:30 p.m. There was nothing I could do." So I did what any other man would hopefully do. I just went for the truthful answer and told her, "Hey, I'm sorry the event got canceled, but, you know, we could go to dinner together." To which she said, "I'd love to go on a date with you, Dale." To which I replied, "Yes." And then we went to downtown Denver. We went to a little restaurant called Josefina's on Larimer Street. And I don't remember the food, and that's kind of a big deal for me. But we spent hours talking in that restaurant. We shared our dreams with one another. We shared our hopes with one another. And in that moment, something happened that I can't fully put into words. But as we left the restaurant, it got cold outside, and she had her arm around my arm. And as it got colder, our arms kind of went down like this. And we touched our hands, and it was kind of a little awkward handhold at first. And then it went to the full-fledged, awesome handhold. And at that moment, it was like electricity was going through my body. In the New Testament, they call this ekstombeo, amazement, astoundingness, or alarm. This word, ekstombeo, captures this range of meaning, amazement, astonishment, and alarm. We all experience ekstombeo when we hear good news, the good news of a baby coming into our life, the good news of the possibility of a new relationship, the good news from our doctor that we've been given a clean bill of health, the good news that we were accepted into that college that we had worked so hard to get to, or the good news that a new job opportunity has arisen. Ekstombeo. Amazement, astonishment, alarm. But the problem with ekstombeo is that fears come quickly when you have those types of emotions. I had fears. I had emotional fears that, wow, this electricity, this ekstombeo that I'm feeling, would Stacy really love me? And then I had these intellectual fears. I don't know if you do this, but you say things to yourself like, "You know, I'm a Colorado boy and she's a California girl, especially from that strange colony in Southern California called Orange County. I'm not really sure that it's going to work. You know, my family background is different from her family background." And then we do this other thing. We have emotional, intellectual. Then we have these volitional fears. These fears of, can we really be the person that we're being called to be? And June Carter said to Johnny Cash, "You got to walk the line," right? And so when we love somebody, we are called to a higher standard. We're called to be our best self for that person, right? We're called because they bring out within us the very best of who we are, who God created us to be. So there's emotional fears, there's intellectual fears, and there's volitional fears. Fears that are very real to every one of us, right? Ekstombeo. The story tells us today that three women went to the tomb: Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. They went to the tomb with spices because apparently the night before, when Joseph of Arimathea had done it, he didn't do it right. So three women went to do the right burial procedure. Sound familiar to you? And so these women go to the tomb, and as they're going to the tomb, they start talking and they say, "Who's going to roll away that stone for us?" Then they get to that tomb, and to their ekstambeo, the stone has been rolled away. They walk into the tomb. They see a young man in a brilliantly shiny white robe. And they are, same word here, ekstambeo, amazed, astonished, alarmed at what they have just seen. And the angel says this, "Do not be ekstambeo, do not be alarmed." And I imagine that the women say, "What are you talking about? The tomb's empty. This Jesus that we have walked with is not in the tomb. Where did you take your angel 101 class? Because if there's ever a time to have ekstambeo, it's when God calls us to be something more than we ever could have imagined. Another good news we experience is when God says, "You and you and you can make this world a better place. You can make a new world by following Jesus, being a peacemaker, being a justice seeker, showing love to our neighbors, to our family, and to the world. We can transform this world with world-transforming love that Jesus teaches us." Ekstambeho. So then, as it goes on, the angel says, "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is not here. He has been risen." To which I imagine the women reply, "Who is this guy? Obviously he's been risen. He's told us the story the whole time. He's told us what he was going to do by shutting down the temple. He showed strength for us in shutting down that temple. He taught us the love commandment. He has walked life with us, and he promised he would go to the cross and die, but one day in hope and new life, he would be resurrected." So this angel is definitely on his back feet. But finally the angel gets in key, and the angel says this, "Go, go, go and tell the disciples, Jesus is ahead of you in Galilee. He will meet you there." Now, this message resonates with the women. They knew that Jesus had told them he would come back, he would meet them. But the angel also told them to make sure you let Peter know. Tell Peter. So then, as the women are walking out of the tomb in the story, they were trembling. The ekstambeo was working its way in them. The amazement, the astonishment, the alarm, and then, of course, the fear. The real fear. Could they be the ones to tell the world about Jesus? Could these women possibly hand on this enormous task? A lot was riding on their shoulders. And we'll come back to their story. But we also experience ekstambeo in life. We experience these emotional fears when God calls us to a vision so big, so beautiful, we don't know how to respond. And we say to ourselves often, could I possibly be loved by God like that? Could God love me, really, at the core when we kind of cut through it all? That's the emotional thing. But from Genesis to Revelation, the story drips of a God who loves everyone, no exceptions, everywhere, all the time. God's passionate love for every one of us is revealed throughout the pages over and over again. And then we come to the intellectual fears. Some of us sit here and we think, did the resurrection really happen? And that is the core question as our minds are spinning in this whole resurrection experience that we have. And there's two scholars that are really important to talk about. N.T. Wright is a historian. So what he does is he scrutinizes every piece of literary evidence in the ancient world. And basically what he has concluded is that early Christians believed that the physical body of Jesus was brought to new life, was reanimated fully, and that the resurrection is a probable truth that Christians have based their belief on for thousands of years. But he says something even more interesting. So what's the meaning of the resurrection? He says, the meaning of the resurrection is not that you get a ticket to heaven. It's not otherworldly. It's right here. God's kingdom is coming right here. What Jesus did was to tell us, right now it starts. Peace and love and reconciliation and a new world right here that we work towards that crowning day when all of it culminates in a world where no one cries, where no one is broken, where no one is homesick. The revolution of Jesus starts right here. And then there's another scholar, Marcus Borg, who's really compelling. And he argues for us that Easter, he's an experiential religious scholar. So he says, hey, listen, there's always historical uncertainty. There's limits to what we can know about history. And what Marcus Borg says is he calls it the truth of Easter. And he says, what we do know is that ever since those women were at the tomb, there has been an experience of resurrection among Christians. So the resurrection happened, and it also happens every day of our life. We know people who've been at the pit of despair and hopelessness, and they found new life. They found resurrection. So the truth of Easter. But then we face this other astonishing fear that we have, volitional. Some of us get to this point of, okay, we know who we're called to be. We understand intellect, but the volition, our resolve to become the person God's created us to be. And this is a tough one. Because just like June Carter told Johnny Cash, you got to walk the line. God is calling us to a life of integrity, to a life of virtue. And guess what? This is hard work. It's hard to become a person of love, a person of peace, a person of forgiveness all the time. But the good news I bring to you, we have a lifetime to work on it. And what we have to come to realize is that there are no Lone Ranger Christians. We can't do this apart from community, from friendship. So that's why we come to this place called church, to sharpen one another, to breathe new life into one another, to encourage one another's giftedness, and so that we all can become everything God created us to be. We live it with the message of good news and in the reality of ex thom beo. So I went back to my dorm room after my first date with Stacy, ex thom beo, hold hands, and I explained to them all of my fears, all the emotional, intellectual, volitional. And my roommate looked me in the eyes and said, you'd be a fool not to ask her on another date. So I did, and it's been working out since then. But the women, the Gospel of Mark in verse 8 says, they were afraid. And if you look in your study Bibles, it says the shorter ending of the Gospel of Mark. And if you have a good study Bible and you look underneath that, it will explain to you that the earliest manuscripts in the Gospel of Mark, very, very early, 3rd and 4th century that we have, end it right there. So imagine that. These women are trembling. They've experienced ex thom beo. They've seen the tomb is empty. And they're shaking. And they remain silent. And that's how it ends. What kind of ending is that to the story? No one hears the message of God's love for everyone. So I think Mark does this on purpose so that every one of us will learn to face our fears and to take a step and to keep stepping, because you never know who you're going to influence and impact in this world with God's message of love. I love the way Cornel West says it. He says, to be a Christian is to live dangerously, honestly, freely, to step in the name of love as if you may land on nothing, yet to keep stepping because the something that sustains you, no empire can give you and no empire can take away. So like the women at the tomb, we would not have known the gospel message, the ex thom beo, if they would have remained silent. Obviously, they started speaking up, spreading the news, investing into their grandkids, and their grandkids investing into their grandkids, and this incredible, triumphant message of love that a new world could be possible is spread. So we are offered this amazing choice, this amazing possibility to put into action the gospel message. And that's why, in the very last picture, if you look on our storyboard, we have it blank. Because you are called to step and keep stepping. You are called with all your unique gifts, with all your exceptional abilities, with all your mediocre gifts, with all your brokenness. God is restoring, renewing, redeeming, using you to transform this world, to make a new world for all to come. What story would be on your board? How would you draw that last picture. So the question for us as we end this morning's message is this. Will we take a step of faith, facing our emotional, intellectual, and volitional fears, and trusting the one who calls us to go and make of this old world a new world? Amen.